like an octopus, like it just coming out and grabbing you with its tentacles. And they're slimy and they're suction cups at the end of the tentacles going. And every one of those tentacles just grabs you. And pretty soon you're distracted. And pretty soon the octopus pulls you down into its little octopus world. And it may be a shock at first to be pulled into a world that's sicko by a sicko octopus. But yet the octopus really wants you to be with him. And suddenly you become accustomed to it and you learn to be friends with that world. Well, this is the eon. This is the world that crucified Jesus Christ. Eon number three. We're in eon number three. Jesus Christ was also in eon number three. So you see how well people behave in eon number three. The Son of God was tortured and destroyed by the chiefs of eon number three. You are living and serving under the jurisdiction of these same chiefs. And so, but in order to make it tolerable, there's stuff that happens here that helps you get by. And so you learn to become friends with it. It's like people who are in prison. They learn to adjust and adapt to that world to survive. And so, in a sense, they become friends with it because they have to. Well, in this situation, we don't have to become friends with this world. We can be outcasts. We can be out of step with it. And this will help protect us from the coming indignation, because the coming indignation begins with the coming infiltration. Yeah, I wanted to have something that rhymed with indignation. Infiltration. Infiltration of what? Infiltration of pleasures. Infiltration of success. Infiltration of finally, my God, we got good government. It's like, let's say you're at work, and let's say you have a job, and your job stinks, so you're getting ready to quit. I'm going to quit this job, it's terrible, because the managers are bad, my coworkers are terrible. So you're a month away from quitting, and suddenly there's a new president of the company, and he installs these wonderful people. He gives you a manager that makes sense, that has good policies, that treats his employees well, gives everybody, the first thing he does is gives everybody a $5,000 a year raise. So you're going, oh my God, I'm just getting ready to quit. Finally, good management comes in and I'm quitting. What's the matter with me? So that's the temptation. Suddenly, things are working well. That's the temptation I talked about on Friday there. So suddenly things are working. Why am I going to quit? So maybe I don't need to quit. Maybe I can just hang on for a little bit. And that's how it starts. That's how it starts. So Satan finally realizes this. He changes his tactics with the change of administrations. He attacks Job, kills his family, afflicts his flesh, and Job says, oh, I love God. I need God. I want to be with God. Someday I'll see my Redeemer. And Job goes crazy for God, absolutely nuts for God. Big fan of God now, big fan. He was always reverently toward God, but now he's like, oh God. See, God doesn't want just kindness, pious reverence. He doesn't want people just coming up to him and, oh yes, I have a God. No, he wants us lunging at him at his feet, and it's like, please rescue me. God loves that. It's more intimate fellowship. It's deeper fellowship. So Satan realized that he screwed up on that one. So he doesn't need to make life more miserable. It would behoove him, really, if he was given full reign. It's God making life miserable. Think of this. Just had this revelation. It's God making people more miserable, so that it's an experience of evil given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. An experience of evil given to the sons of humanity. Slow down. I'm getting excited here of this revelation. It's an experience of evil. Elohim is given. God's given it to humble you, because being humble keeps you close to Christ. You just grab onto his legs and hug him and say, take me away, please. So this is God keeping Satan at bay. So what happens when God finally just lets Satan loose? Satan learned a lot since the days of Job. He's not going to afflict the flesh. He screwed that up. Now he's going to make life fantastic. What was his temptation? What was his plan for derailing the crucifixion of Christ? kill Christ? No. That would only further the cause. Christ was already going to be killed. The solution was rescue Christ. Rescue him from the cross. Rescue Christ from Calvary. And offer him all the kingdoms of the world. Take him on a trip to Dalmatia or Thessalonica or Galatia. Nice places. Pleasant places. Make things comfy, cozy, less crazy. That's what's going to happen. Wait for it. Watch for it. I'm telling you, that's what's going to be happening. And it's going to disqualify some people. Maybe even some of us from ruling and reigning. We can't be disqualified from membership in the body of Christ. That's a lock because it's based on Christ's work. But ruling and reigning, having a position of leadership and rulership in the next eon, that can be lost by forsaking this call. Demas, loving the current eon, forsook me. And I think these other men Paul mentioned also forsook him. He just doesn't say specifically that they forsook him. But why should he? But that's the context. Listen again. Endeavor to come to me quickly, for Demas, loving the current eon, forsook me and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. He just says where these guys went, doesn't say that they forsook him. But the whole context is, starting with Demas, Demas, loving the current eon, forsook me, went to. And then these other guys went to. Titus went to. So unless Paul's changing the channel there, and I don't think he is, these guys also found a golden opportunity to love the current eon. And they went for it. All right. Facebook. All right, let me find my tab here. Why it can make you crazy. Again, I'm quoting from an article from psychologytoday.com by Douglas Kenrick, PhD. Subtitle of this article is How Staying in Touch May Be Driving You Nuts. Driving you nuts in one sense, but we're addicted to being driven nuts. See, this seems to be a contradiction to what I've been saying Facebook can tend to drive you crazy, but many things that drive us crazy are addicting. People who are addicted to alcohol, it drives them crazy. They hate it, but they can't get away from it. They're pulled to it. It's fatal. That's where we get the phrase fatal attraction. An attraction is something you love. Fatal is something you love it, but it's bad for you. Last week, I talked about how it can make your life feel not as cool as everyone else's. That's number one. The name, title of the article is Seven Ways. So now number two, it can lead you to envy your friends' successes. Maybe we covered that one. Oh yes, Buxman and Krasnova, two social investigators or social studies or people who study social things, they found that seeing others' highlights on your newsfeed can make you envious of friends' travels, successes, and appearances. Additional findings suggest that the negative psychological impact of passively following others on Facebook is driven by the feelings of envy that stem from passively skimming your newsfeed. See, I don't even know what a newsfeed is, so you folks will have to help me here. Let me read that again. Additional findings suggest that negative psychological impact of passively following others on Facebook is driven by the feelings of envy. So Facebook is passive. In a sense, I know you post your own stuff, but I think the percentage of time that you are posting your own stuff on Facebook, I think that pales in comparison to the time spent consuming other people's stuff, which is called here passively following others. And it's driven by feelings of envy. It's like, what are they doing next? What? And you go deeper into it. Number three, it can lead to a sense of false consensus. This is important. False consensus. Sit next to a friend while you each search for the same thing on Google. Eli Pariser, author of The Filter Bubble, can promise you won't see the same search results. Not only have your internet searches grown more personalized, so have social networking sites. Facebook's sorting function places posts higher in your newsfeed if they're from like-minded friends, which may distort your view of the world. So says a guy named Constein, who reported on this in 2012. So the searches you do on your own particular Facebook page, the things that you like, they know what you're liking. You put a like, somebody says, like me, like my video, like my post, you like it. And suddenly now Facebook is going to feed you stuff that you like. So when you go to do a search from Facebook, you're going to have a false consensus. You're going to think, oh, look, everybody likes what I like. No, Facebook and the geniuses at that headquarters are catering to you. They're bringing into your purview things that they already know that you like. So you can come to have this false sense of consensus, and that can make you think that everybody's like you, and it could, quote, distort your view of the world. And this is exactly what is happening with all these entertainment platforms. They are distorting your view of the world. They're giving you what they want you to see, even though you're the one, you know, suggesting to them what you like. They're dishing more and more of it to you. You find that on Amazon. You buy something on Amazon, and then all of a sudden they have these wonderful suggestions. Well, somebody who bought this also bought this, and pretty soon, oh, I found this true on Yahoo too. I'm doing a Google search from Yahoo, and I'm looking up things about the Beatles. And so when I open my Yahoo page the next day, I see an article down there on the Beatles. And I say, oh, it's cool. Other people are interested in the Beatles. No. I realize now that I'm being sold a bill of goods. It's a false consensus. They're giving me what I'm looking for. And sometimes we don't know what we need, and we're looking for stuff that's just distracting to us. The scriptures, though, they're hard. This is why the scriptures are hard to read, because when you open your Bible, it's not telling you things you want to hear necessarily. It's not giving you that, I just want to email my friends and feel good. I just want to go to Facebook and feel good. The scriptures are boring, they're dull, they're dry. But we wouldn't, there was a time when this was fantastic. See, we've lost that. There was a time when the Word of God is with us. Wow, that's amazing. God took the time to write. God took the time to call out certain people and inspire them to record His thoughts. That's fantastic. My gosh, and so you lusted for this book. And so copyists would spend years writing it down, and they would preserve these letters, these ancient papyri. And it's like, that's amazing. God is talking to us. The God of the universe is speaking to us. And now you and I, we've had this book in our possession for a long time. I'd rather really go to Amazon and buy a vacuum cleaner. And I want to spend a couple hours comparing different vacuum cleaners. And I want to look at people's comments about this particular vacuum cleaner. And oh, look, other people are really interested in vacuum cleaners. And oh, look, Cindy has a new vacuum cleaner. I wonder if she likes it. Oh, look, Cindy has a new dog. Oh, look what it wore on the for Halloween. And that's how it's a black hole. It's a rabbit hole, and it just sucks you in. And before you know it, you've spent hours and your mind has changed. Your mind is literally altered. It is. It's altered. Suddenly the world seems maybe kind of like a happy place after all. And then a great leader comes in and says he's going to make your country great again, and everything's going to be wonderful. And it's like hoop-de-doop-de-doo. And suddenly maybe you're not really loving the appearance of Christ that much. It's not quite as important maybe as it was. That's what that stuff does to you. I'm telling you, it's insidious. And we need to watch out for it. But forget about it. It's taking over the world like a steamroller. It's taking people down. And it's doing it in a kind way. Not in a Job-like way. Not in a Satan-Job scenario. It's a more like a Satan-Christ scenario. It was God that put Christ on the cross. Satan wanted to deliver him from the cross. It was God who put Christ on the cross. Father, your will, not mine. Satan was the one who said, if there's another way, who whispered, if there's another way, give it to me. Give me the kingdoms of the world now without the crucifixion. So it was Satan who wanted to escape, who wanted to give Christ the escape clause. Watch out for escape clauses, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm saying. And there are escape clauses in every snippet of entertainment that you receive. There's some escape clause. I'm not saying don't look at it. I'm saying look at it and use it in your life, but don't indulge in it. Paul says, use the world, but don't use it up. Do not use it up, because it's going to win. You're not. It is, because it's so seductive, so seductive. I have to be on my guard all the time. I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you. I'm not some guy on a high holy mountain preaching to you, my people. No, I'm also the people. I'm getting insights into what's happening in the world and who's behind it. Wittingly or unwittingly, the Jews are behind it. Wittingly or unwittingly, they find themselves with the cup of the intoxicant of Babylon, and it's drawing people away, and it's going to draw the world away in a huge way, and things are going to be so good, so perfected, seemingly so solved, the problems of this world, that even the elect would be deceived. That's how slick it's going to be. And there's no way it can be that slick by pummeling you, by disciplining you, by spanking you, by making life miserable. No, it's going to appear that way because of how good it is and how all the world's problems seem to be solved under a great world leader. Well, don't fall for it. Stay true to Paul. Don't go to Dalmatia. Don't go to Galatia. Don't even go to Thessalonica. Yes, that's right. I don't want you to go to Thessalonica. Stay here with me. Stay here with Paul. And we're going to get through this together.